This is India Noir, India's most critically acclaimed horror and crime storytelling podcast. You can now follow the podcast exclusively on Spotify. His Night Begins, Season 4. Episode 8. Guruji placed the Stetson on his head and gazed at his reflection in the broken mirror. The squalid apartment's features wrapped around his fierce appearance as he adjusted the trench coat, coaxing it to sit snugly on his shoulders. He was unhappy about the slight paunch that dominated his midriff, but pleased he did not have the slouchy appearance that cursed men of his age. Muscle memory and years of hard work had built a hardness into his limbs and his chest, which refused to diminish with time. He smiled at the brawny, broad-shouldered killer staring back at him and said, "I think you've still got it." He pressed a firm hand against his torso to confirm the presence of the handguns. Not satisfied with this tactile examination, he opened the trench coat and gazed at the tools of his trade. The modified Galco Miami Classic 2 shoulder holster system allowed for two 6-hour P320 handguns to be holstered horizontally and facing backwards under the armpits. Guruji was fiercely loyal to his service guns, which were reliable, polyframed, striker-fired, double-stacked beauties. When he had to return the official ones on his forced retirement, he procured two of them in black market to keep him company. The Nalco system also had two pouches for two 13-round magazines. Some parts of the aging ostrich leather holster had grown darker, while some had developed a sheen, and Guruji knew exactly where each patch of pigmentation was located. He ran his hands across the pimpled grain surface affectionately and smiled. His cock grew erect and Guruji felt a wave of shame wash over him. "You're fucking animal," he muttered under his breath. Then he stopped berating himself. For too long, he had suppressed his kill lust. Here was an opportunity to be himself again and provide for a dignified end for his wife. He walked past the open door to his wife's bedroom, where he found her wheezing and staring at the ceiling with yellowing, watery eyes. "The new carer will be here in 5. I will make sure she attends to you before I leave," Guruji said. She turned to face him, opened her dry, chapped lips and said in a hoarse voice,
"You are going back to becoming a monster, aren't you? That bitch came to see you, didn't she?"
Guruji didn't respond.
"Did you do it for the money? To ensure I have a better end?"
she said. "Aye." Guruji's voice trailed off.
"I hope you feel better when you pile more sins on my head and send me to the fire pits of hell. All the comfort you will buy with that blood money will be coated in gore. Damn you, and damn that bitch,"
she said. Unable to hear her curse words, Guruji exited the apartment and waited at the entrance, perspiring and breathing heavily.
"You should have shot me, you fucking bastard,"
she screamed. Santosh Kumar had accompanied the first batch of cocaine to slip through the border checkpoints of IP City. They secreted chunky cakes of white powder hidden in oil drums into the city, thanks to a combination of luck, tardiness, and bribes. That he was leading the contingent of 7 trucks for his patron Miguel Beltran Fuentes was a matter of great pride for Santosh. He was resting in the passenger seat of the lead truck, beaming like a man who was conquering one of the economic powerhouses of India. He felt like he owned a part of IP City thanks to his affiliation to the cartel. And why not? He deserved it. His patron had praised his loyalty and lauded him for fulfilling his duties efficiently. Santosh was certain that this was the first of many rewards that awaited him. He popped his head out of the window and let the wind run riot through his oily curls. He glimpsed his mustache-free, pockmarked face in the side mirror and smiled. Here was a man who had found his golden ticket to paradise. This is what a successful man who had clambered out of the cesspit of poverty looked like, Santosh thought. A message pinged his phone. He opened it and smiled. His cousins from UP ran a small protection racket in the eastern end of the city, and it was they who reported sightings of Nilesh Chettiar's lieutenant Jaybhim in that part of the town. Santosh had ordered his relatives to pinpoint the war chief's exact location and promised a hefty reward for the information. He hadn't shared the matter with his dearest patron or his Mexican killer dogs. He wanted all the glory for himself. He wanted to slay his boss's last enemy with his own bare hands. He wanted to sever the head of Nilesh's last remaining war chief with a machete. Then he would go back to Miguel in these same trucks after they had emptied their deadly loads into the nerves of IP City. He would throw the severed head at his master's feet and claim his reward. He read the good news that flashed on his screen once again before opening a messaging app and sharing the news with his goons who were riding shotgun on the other trucks. My cousins have pinpointed Jaybhim's location. We are on. Let the other lads know. We will need them soon, he messaged the group. Santosh slammed the truck's horn a few times in elation, much to the surprise of the driver. This is the sound heralding the arrival of a king in the making, Santosh said, flashing a toothy grin.
Did you see his body? You fucking piece of shit. The man we all loved. The man we called Don. Covered in 1,000 knives.
Jaybhim's voice boomed within the confines of the abandoned warehouse on the outskirts of IP City. The traitor, Gokul Shinde, who had betrayed Nilesh Chettiar, was strung upside down from the ceiling. His bloodied face swayed above the cracked cement floor, which was a carpet of weeds. Ropes of crimson drool from his mouth fell on their patterned leaves as a constant moan escaped his bloodied lips.
My family was threatened,
Shinde said for the 1,000th time.
He was family too,
Jaybhim said, grabbing onto Shinde's sweaty hair. When he let the man go, Shinde's body turned like a rotisserie pig. The former accountant glimpsed Jaybhim's men, who surrounded him, their eyes burning with hatred.
He was like a father to me, Jaybhim said tearfully. And you? He loved you like an elder brother. And how did you repay that love?
I...
Shinde began.
There is only one punishment for traitors,
Jaybhim said, interrupting Shinde's pathetic utterances. Shinde spun around and witnessed his former employees draw out their knives and step towards him with cruel intentions.
Death by 1,000 cuts,
Jaybhim said. Each man slashed at Shinde's body multiple times. Bloody wounds opened up all over his body. Ichor cascaded out of the wounds and drenched Shinde's head. Shinde cried and blinked rapidly as red-hot blood filled his eyes, mouth and nostrils. The men stepped back and watched the twitching, gurgling form of the traitor with great satisfaction.
We fight for him. We fight for our Dawn. Let this be the first of our many gifts to his departed soul,
Jaybhim said. His men roared their approval as Shinde's body shuddered intensely for several minutes before going still. Jaybhim's phone buzzed.
Get out of there. They are coming for you. The message from the private number said. What? Who are you? How did you get this number? Jabim typed back. You're wasting precious time. You will be dead in a matter of minutes if you don't bail now. The message chimed instantly. Who are you? Jabim typed back with trembling hands. Tera Guru. The response read. When Santosh and his 13 weapon-bearing accomplices entered the godown, the lonesome, forlorn sound of a chain creaking away at the center of the giant space greeted them. Tall shelves stacked with empty barrels hid the source of the ominous sound. The men held up their weapons, their guns, machetes and iron rods, and crept onwards, taking pains to peer into every shadow to examine every new section of their hunting ground. When a smoke grenade went off with a metallic clang, they panicked at first, but words of assurance from their determined leader, Santosh, calmed their nerves.
These gimmicks will not save Nilesh's dogs. We are leaving here with some severed heads, boys. My source told me we would outnumber the amateurs here 2-1. Come on, keep your eyes open. But no need to piss in your pants, he said.
They moved on as the smoke swirled around them. Darksome shapes threatened to loom out of the smog and pounce on them. They panned their weapons from side to side and constantly checked their six to discourage ambush tactics. Not that they needed to worry about it.
Come on, Jabim. Stop hiding like a coward.
I have men posted at the doors. You are not getting out of here. Not a fly leaves this building without me knowing about it, Santosh said.
There was no response. They moved to the center of the godown without incident. They came upon a ghastly sight. Shinde's bloodied corpse.
What the?
Santosh remarked. His followers exchanged confused glances. Another smoke grenade went off with a bang, frightening the already spooked goons.
The men at the exits, meant to cover your backs, are gone. Now you are trapped in here with me,
a disembodied voice said.
Who are you?
Santosh screamed into the miasma.
This should best answer that question,
the steely voice said a beat later. Bullets punched through the air, demolishing craniums and hearts. Painful cries punctuated the destruction of each body that was felled to the ground. The weapon-waving goons dropped like marionettes whose strings had been cut, their lifeless forms bouncing off the filthy floor. It was as if a sharp scythe had reaped a swathe of noxious weeds in a fell sweep. The scythe-wielder, an instrument of justice and vengeance, who dealt death from the innards of the smokescreen. The men who attempted to race out of the smoky section of the godown encountered a Vajramushti, which sent their bodies flying back into the center of the Chakravyuh. When they landed hard on their backs with a scream, the hollow mouth of a gun barrel greeted them from above. Their final vision was a blast of fire spat forth by the deadly orifice. Death followed, the big bang of its terrible wrath silencing their fearful screams forever. Santosh whimpered as he clung to the upside-down corpse, his mind struggling to comprehend the stealthy but balletic violence around him. The smoke dissipated, and the butcher who had wreaked havoc on Santosh's ambitions to become Miguel Beltran's favorite stood before him in an ominous long coat. The killer's face was hidden underneath the brim of his hat. The guns that had butchered Santosh's mates smoked threateningly in his mighty hands. The man's arrogance frightened and angered Santosh at the same time. Santosh shook off the fear that made him latch onto the bloody and cold body and raised his own weapon. He watched his opponent's twin barrels arc up in a flash, and his brain registered amazement even as it was pulped into gobbets of white and grey matter. Guruji, smiled at the aftermath of his bloody rampage. Thanks for listening to Indian Noir. Click the follow button on your Spotify app or Spotify desktop software. You can also take a sneak peek at how the show is produced and my life and my interests via my social media channels. I am at Indian Noir on Instagram and Twitter.